Well, thanks for joining us, Craig. It's fair to say you guys were a bit of a surprise packet last year, isn't it?
Not now, mind. We were pretty confident that we had enough ability and enough will to win that we'd compete pretty well. But we're probably fortunate with that work rate that we're able to get across the line in a couple of close ones and go through get through to the last game.
It's probably fair to say, isn't it, the weight of public expectation was probably more on the likes of the Western Bulldogs, Melbourne. They'd obviously had that higher profile with those exhibition games previously. Did you feel at least that you had, you sort of avoided the public glare a little bit and that helped?
I think that's just part of being a club outside of Victoria. And, particularly in Sydney and Brisbane where football's not necessarily scrutinised the same way it is in the southern states, and that sort of flows through to the women's game as well. So, I guess that's an advantage, but the flip of that is that we've got a bit of a chip on our shoulder about trying to prove ourselves as well. So, that sort of is another driving force behind our team.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you were so close, weren't you? It was a ripping grand final and such a tough game of footy, but gee, it's a long time between drinks in having a chance to avenge that, really, isn't it?
It is, particularly with your players heading back to state leagues. And they spend more time with their state league clubs than they do with their AFLW clubs. So that's a challenge for all of us. And it's going to be addressed post this season. But, the season only being 8 weeks is something that, is probably where it's at right now. But I'm sure if you want to keep attracting, the very best female sportsmen from around the country, we want to maybe get this competition out to 10 or 12 weeks so that we can get the very best athletes.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, that, isn't it? I guess in terms of mindset, everyone involved with it, yourself, the players, even administrators, even fans, had to sort of get their head around the shortened form of it. And it means that, I guess you can't really sort of afford to pace yourself at any stage, can you? You've just got to hit the ground running and continue that momentum. And to that end, I suppose, that first game you guys had out in that pouring rain and thunderstorms and whatever against Melbourne out at Casey, I mean, that was just a huge win for you guys, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of apprehension coming into that game, and you're dead right. I mean, if you can get some momentum early and some belief in your group early, we had two away wins on the trot. One down at Casey and one at Fremantle. So, back-to-back away trips, one of them to Perth, that's a big ask for any footy team. And we came away with the points with both. So I think the blessing in disguise there was that the group got some self-belief early in the year and let that roll through.
And you've got to be good on the road again, first up this time, taking on Adelaide in a grand final rematch at Norwood Oval.
Yeah, that Norwood Oval is a magnificent ground for AFLW. Just, shorter, narrower, a bit of history with the stones around the ground. Just a very quaint place to play footy. And, a bit of a throwback to old State League days when the place is packed. It was, that's probably one of my best memories of last year, actually, to play at places like that. And Fremantle Oval in WA as well was very similar. I think we had 10,000 that night as well. So that's probably the good thing about the old suburban footy ground is that they're perfect for what we're going through right now.
I was just trying to desperately to remember where you did your apprenticeship. It was East Perth, wasn't it?
Yeah, East Perth.
So Perth Oval, wasn't it?
Perth Oval, which is now the stadium, NID Stadium for rugby and soccer.
Yep.
So, yeah, a lot of pleasant memories. And Perth Oval, that's for sure.
Personnel-wise, obviously, the change that people have focused on is Taylor Harris departing and heading off to Carlton. What are the ramifications of that in terms of how you set up particularly your forward line?
Yeah, Taylor's a loss, no doubt about that. She's such a, competes so well in the air and launches herself at every aerial contest. So to lose that from your team's obviously a big hole to fill. However, we've got two players back from Carlton in that exchange, and one of them's really good in the air as well, Ballarere. So she will definitely help Sabrina in our forward setup with other players in that part of the ground. So I think that imposing forward that we can kick to when in a crisis is still with us with those two players. But we've also added in that exchange Nat Exon too, who's a really quick and speedy defender, midfielder, forward, can play multiple roles and has got explosive pace. So we think we've done all right out of the deal.
This is purely observational, Craig. I don't have the stats to back it up, but watching your team play last season, it sort of seemed like you had more height than a lot of other sides. Is that right or not?
We're actually a bit shorter than everyone else.
I knew you were going to say that.
Only because Tracking Data put out a great prospectus on last year and this year's crop. So we're the youngest team in the comp, apparently, at 23 years and 8 months. And we're the shortest team in the comp. So I actually don't mind that. We're quite uniform in height. Players that are sort of more hybrid nature and can play a variety of roles. So from that point of view, I think myself and the coaching staff are pretty comfortable.
One of the things that people are going to watch with interest, I guess perhaps with potential ramifications for the men's game, is the last touch rule. There's obviously a hope that that might increase scoring. Do you think that that's going to mean a dramatic change in the way the game is played? And do you think that scoring will increase because of that?
Yeah, it's just to be clear, it's last possession, not last touch.
So, yeah, right, right. Yep.
Handball or kick that isn't touched and rolls out of bounds, free kick to the opposition. Now, I'm thinking if our players are missing targets to the point where it's not even a hand on it and it rolls out of bounds, we deserve to be penalised. So yeah. I'm actually quite okay with it in any part of the game. So, yeah, if it means less boundary throw-ins, and more opportunity or more incentive to come back to the title, I think that's definitely got to be good for our game. We're tracking it twice as many stoppages per minute than the men's game. So we had to do something to address that.
So is there an inevitable flow-on effect on the scoreboard then?
You'd think so. Just keeping the ball alive in the middle part of the ground means, potentially more scoring opportunities. But, again, I think fans have got to have their expectations right in terms of the length of our game.
Yeah.
And probably the developing skill level of our group too, who are now into their second year of semi-professional football. So, we know we've got some improvements to come. And tinkering with the rules, an extra pre-season under their belt where players are now getting a little bit more skillful, all of that hopefully will lead to higher scoring.
Did it sort of annoy you a bit the way that, I don't want to sort of dwell on a negative here because it was overwhelmingly a positive experience season one, but the naysayers seem to always focus on the scoring. Do you find that, as someone who's been involved with women's football a fair while now, do you find that annoying?
A little bit because, at times when the scoring's been high in the old exhibition game format, it was lopsided high scoring. So in the case of, every football follower's got a different style of game that they prefer to watch. I think if you watch the men's game and we saw 20 goals each, we'd all come away pretty happy, but we know that's really rare. And in women's footy, the same. Our grand final was 4 goals apiece in about 70 minutes worth of footy.
Yeah.
It's a case of what do you want? I mean, those 05 and 06 grand finals between the Swans and West Coast were similarly low scoring per minute. So, it's just every footy observer's got something different that they're after, and everyone has a different style of footy that they prefer to watch.
Hey, I was just thinking, Craig, we had Mick McGuan in here first hour today. We were talking briefly about Collingwood, and I did hark back to 1990. It's great to see so many guys out of that side have remained involved in the game at various levels, Mick at suburban level and yourself on the women's side of it. There's a lot of players of that era, I reckon, that are giving back to the game.
Yeah, Damien Monkhurst and Graham Wright have been at Hawthorn for a long period now too, for their success. So there's still a lot of people. I mean, it's what you're comfortable with and what you know, I guess. And we've all, gone off in other areas from time to time, but drifted back towards footy. So I think it's just a natural part of the industry that you're comfortable and you've built up a body of knowledge over time that you think you can impart elsewhere. So, it's just a comfortable place to be.
Well, you've spent a fair bit of time in three states. I mean, is WA still home?
WA is always home, yeah, definitely. But I've been in Queensland now longer than I grew up in Western Australia. So, you know, Queensland has its challenges in terms of how we want to be seen as an AFL state. So we're fighting the battle against the other codes in our own state, which is the first part of the battle. And then it's beating opposition from traditional footy states. So, yeah, there's quite a job still to be done in this neck of the woods in getting AFL to the top of the tree. But pleased to say that, you know, our numbers playing female footy across this state are really, really healthy. So when the Suns join the comp in a couple of years' time, hopefully you'll have really, you know, two really good, strong, competitive Queensland teams in AFLW.
Yeah, and that was going to be my final question. There's always a lot of hand-wringing down here, or there has been in recent years, about the health of Queensland football. But do you think it could sort of turn and sort of take off quicker than some people here think?
Oh, numbers-wise, in terms of people playing, it's really healthy. It's just really the outside observer only really sees or focuses in on the two men's AFL teams, probably to a lesser extent our team now. That's the window into what's going on in that state. But when you dig a bit deeper, participation numbers are really, really strong and healthy.
Mm.
And when you look at the two men's lists at the moment, that's looking like it's going in the right direction as well. So, the job's always a difficult one because the media drops off as soon as results aren't really what the public are after. So the battle is continuous, but good to see at grassroots level at least we've got lots of kids playing footy.
Good to hear. Well, good luck for the season ahead, Craig. I think a lot of people all over Australia are looking forward to it after being starved of footy for what seems centuries now. All the best for your Lions.
Yeah, no, thank you. It's a great time of the year for this comp. And I know Lions fans are, you know, itching to get back out there and watch our team go around again.
All the best.